In the name of God, King of glory, Emmanuel, the promised of all ages. In the name of Christ, his Son, who conquered death and is risen. And in the name of the Holy Spirit, who will let us share in the heavenly vision. Amen. Well, good morning and welcome. And I see that we have a few new folks in our presence today, and let me just say this. This is the only time in 3 years you'll hear this gospel text. It's a hard one. And this week was Master Musicians Festival and my birthday and a hard text. And many of you all are here to visit with folks for MMF. And those of you all that were here experienced such a beautiful day yesterday. A day of thousands of people gathered together, young and old and rich and poor and multiple generations, and people who normally would have worn suits, and some hippies and all sorts of people came together as family and as homecoming. I was so proud of our church yesterday, because if you had looked out with the thousands and thousands of people gathered together, you saw these groupings everywhere of St. Patrick's folks just sitting together and enjoying community and enjoying one another. And while listening to music yesterday at some point, I saw out of the corner of my eye this sort of flash mob potluck that had been organized by some of our people, with people coming over and getting food and enjoying each other. And a few minutes later, down the hill, our house band, sometimes known as Pleasant Company, other times known as Mixed Nuts, was leading everyone in contra dance, and members of our community were sort of coming down to see what was going on with them and support them. It was a lovely day of sharing with one another, of food, of music, of fellowship, of great community. And it reminded me of a wonderful story that we hear about in the Gospel of Mark. A story of at least 5,000 gathered people, the equivalent of last night's event in first century Palestine, where people gathered to hear great music of hope. And we know that story, and we know that story because there was a problem with feeding all those thousands of people. And the disciples told Jesus that they should take a break so that people could get some food. And Jesus, being the good community person that Jesus is, said, "No, no, we'll just have dinner here together." And so people gathered in a grassy scene like we saw yesterday. And they broke bread, and Jesus blessed it. And somehow 2 loaves and 5 fishes became enough to feed everyone. These stories, stories of music in our community, stories of Jesus and the 5,000, are stories of what happens when communities come together to celebrate hope. When our joy creates an overabundance of sharing community with one another. These are fantastic stories, and we love to tell them, but that's not our story for today. In fact, it's hard for me to actually say the gospel of the Lord today and have you all respond to that, because I wouldn't even call our story for today gospel. For the word gospel describes good news, the message of Jesus Christ. And although our story today falls within the same chapter that the loaves and fishes story happens, our story for today has no mention of Jesus, no mention of good news, and therefore, I would not say that this is gospel. other than a short time on Good Friday. It's one of the only places in the New Testament where we don't see Jesus referenced. And in our story today, in the same chapter where Jesus is performing the miracles of feeding loaves and fishes to thousands of people, there is another party going on. A party where Jesus is absent. And instead of seeing sharing, we see greed. Instead of seeing the deep compassion of Jesus caring for his people, like they were sheep without a shepherd. Instead of seeing Jesus' care and feeding of spiritual and nutritional needs, and seeing Jesus giving of himself, we see in contrast a person deeply worried about their own needs. And it is not a gathering of the masses, but a selection of a few elite. Military commanders and high-ranking officials and officers and lords and nobility gathered together for Herod's birthday, the focus of attention, probably with an extravagant amount of food for a very few people, probably with select fine china and all the things that come with an elite affair. And Herod's new wife was there. She's also his former sister-in-law. And her daughter, Herod's stepdaughter / niece, comes and dances an amazing dance. And Herod was captivated. And after she danced, Herod said, "Young lady, great job. So thrilled. You can take anything. Have anything in my kingdom." So the girl runs to her mother and says, what should I get? New clothes? I don't know. A new wing in the palace, redecorated, maybe a pony. But the mother has the perfect idea. Her long-held grudge against John the Baptist for calling out her marriage as being one which was unlawful calls the mother to ask for John's head on a plate. Now, the killing of a person for sport is horrible enough. But in this instance, John was a person which Herod actually loved. Herod actually had a very high view of John. He saw him as someone who had good intentions, as someone who was holy, as someone he delighted in. And together, there was this sense that they co-participated in the creation of the world. And with this, Herod also had a different life, a social status to look after. And in this instance, Herod chooses social status over his good friend and over his holiness. For he had made a pledge to a group, the cool kids, that he would give the girl anything that she wanted. And he was not willing to back down from his pledge. And so he kills one of his good friends for the benefit of social status and murders the holy for personal power. This is not good news. In fact, I'd say it's the lack of good news and the lack of Jesus anywhere to be seen within this story. And if you and I, are truly honest with ourselves, we can recognize that at times in our lives, we have been to both types of parties. You and I have hosted parties of abundant table. Times in our communal life when we have shared and spread our resources together, given to our neighbor, fed the hungry, and done with great compassion and love without regard for our individual selves. And in all honesty, if we really look at ourselves, you and I and us together have also hosted parties of greed. Parties where appetite for power and personal gain have killed holiness in our lives. Times when we have kept resources for ourselves or have allowed our own hunger to overcome our neighbor, and things which we have done in selfishness. We have been there. We've experienced the great abundance of Jesus. We've been spiritually fed, and we've left content. We've seen strangers come and feast on potlucks brought by a few, which seem to keep going on no matter how many people show up. We've experienced life beyond death and a joy that never ends. We have been to the gospel party, the good news party, the joyful party. And we've also been to the greedy party. The party where we have filled our stomachs with too much rich food and too much wine. The party where we have treated those whom we love poorly. The parties where we have sacrificed our personal gain for our neighbors. We know the feeling of a vomiting consciousness because there is nothing like a neighbor's head on a platter to make our stomachs wrench. We've been to this party too, the appalling party, the party that ends in death, the party where Jesus does not exist. And if there is any snippet of good news to be found at this tragic party, I think it is that for just 1 minute, Herod thought that John was back. That Herod, after killing Holmes, could still hear a message of forgiveness. For with John, there is always forgiveness. It would be good news to John if he had killed Holiness, if he had sacrificed his friend for self-gain, and could still hear messages of forgiveness. And the resurrection of John would have once again reminded Herod of repentance and forgiveness of sins, of baptism that releases us from imprisonment of errors, for times of pardon when his mind missed marks of holiness in his neighbor and himself. The possibility of John having risen from the dead is a wonderful message for Herod and a powerful message of forgiveness for us. But John also reminds us that there is a more powerful message on its way. A message that not only empowers us to be forgiven, but calls us into the co-participation of the power of the gospel through the Holy Spirit. The one who is coming is more powerful than me, John says. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So today, as we admit that we have been in both camps, greed and compassion, let us be thankful to God for forgiveness and thankful to the Holy Spirit, which gives us the power to share.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the ancient creed. We believe.